Turn with me, please, to the book of Job, chapter 28. I want to start a new series. I don't know how long it'll be, but I want to preach a series on the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. I'll be starting another series. I'm shortly be finished with the book of Hebrews. I'm not positive, but I think I'm going to be preaching on marriage and the family in replace of the book of Hebrews as we finish that. But this Wednesday evening, I want to preach on the wisdom of God. I've entitled this, Where and What is the Wisdom of God? Where and What is the Wisdom of God? And Job chapter 28, and we'll begin at verse 12 through the end of the chapter. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is there found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Isn't that a beautiful passage? If there's ever a day when it's evident that the world has no wisdom, it certainly is today. Killing babies and calling it a woman's choice. They don't know the difference between a male and a female. People in government make one foolish decision after another, and this is just to mention the tip of the iceberg. There is much foolishness in our nation, in people's lives, and I hate to say this, but we ourselves are touched by it, and we need wisdom to deliver us from foolishness, and hence this series. Now, Job poetically speaks of a search for wisdom and its great value. He tells us that wisdom has more value than the most precious gold, and its price is above rubies. Look at verses 15 through 19. Let me read them again. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. And so we see here that he gives this in a poetic form. Now, the Spirit of God gave this to Job. And let me just teach you something I'm teaching my class on how to study the Bible. God gives things like this for a reason. He wants this truth not just to enter your mind, he wants it to enter your heart and your emotions. I mean, you start talking about gold, and you start talking about precious jewels, you start talking about things that are of value, we can associate with those things. We like those things. We understand the value of those things. And he's telling us that if you put the two in a balance, that these things do not compare to wisdom. They cannot be compared to the value of wisdom. And so not only is he making an intellectual statement of truth, if you meditate on that after a while, you should feel the passion of this. I mean, have you ever, you ladies, have you ever gotten a diamond ring given to you, and not necessarily that what it meant, as in an engagement or marriage, but in a general sense, have you ever gotten a diamond ring and thought of the joy and the excitement of that? And so what he's talking about here, he wants to meditate upon this so that we can think of the joy and the excitement of wisdom and of seeking wisdom, you see. Finding wisdom, that's the idea. Now, he tells us wisdom cannot be found in the earth. You see, it's hid from all living. Look at verses 20 and 21. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. In other words, if you just start searching, like we go out tonight, we're going to search all the earth. We're going to, he's actually in the prior verses, and so forth, he gives the idea like people would search down in the ground and search out, you know how you'll have these, when they search out, they dig deep down in the ground to get to mine resources and so forth. And he's saying that no matter where you search, you're not going to find it. You see? You're not going to find it. And he's going to show us the reason that we don't find it is because wisdom is from above. Wisdom comes from God. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. I'll just quote it. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now, these three, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, are interconnected in the Bible. You'll find them. In other words, in the work of creation, all three are involved. God's wisdom is involved, his understanding is involved, and his knowledge is involved. Matter of fact, if you'll notice at verse 25, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. Now, would you even think, and especially back in that day of wind and air having weight? I mean, even today, how much have you ever thought about the fact that air has weight? Do you realize that the atmospheric pressure was too much, it would crush us? Like water has more weight than air, and you go down so far in the water, even if you could breathe, if you didn't have some apparatus on, I mean, the weight of things would crush you eventually. You see, there you wouldn't be able to breathe because of the ratio of the proportion of pressure and air and so forth. And there are actually many standards that cannot be deviated. Let me just give you one. They say that our universe is about, it's been a while since I've quoted this, I think they say 14 billion light years. Okay? Now that's the distance light travels in a year. So think of the distance light could travel in 14 billion years. Now this is just going to totally amaze you. Now let's imagine that as an imaginary ruler. And let's put an inch on that ruler. And let's move that inch just one inch to the right instead of where it's at. Do you know if you altered the gravitational constant that degree in proportion to what I just told you, that life could not exist on the earth? It is infinitely perfect. It's the same thing, the electrons flowing in around in the electron shell and not collapsing into the nucleus. It is an infinitely perfect balance. And if any of those things are altered, and you could go on in for the laws of magnetism and all kinds of things. In other words, this is God's way of saying he measured it out. He also mentions it in Isaiah. That's a simplistic way of explaining that everything is in intricate detail. That's why scientists today, even ungodly scientists, are having to acknowledge that there must be a designer. You know what they came with the idea of? Multiple universes. Because there's no way you could get one by accident. So maybe there's multiple universes and ours just hit everything right. But anyway, let's go on. And so he did this by wisdom. He created the earth. Now God, only God understands where wisdom comes from because he founded the earth by wisdom. Look at verses 23 through 27 of chapter 28. God understandeth the way thereof, that is the way of wisdom. And he knows the place thereof, that is the place of wisdom. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weighs the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it and prepared it, yea, and searched it out. So in other words, it's saying when God created the world, God demonstrated wisdom. If you want to see wisdom, look at creation. If you want to see wisdom, look at the way he formed the atmosphere and he formed the rains and weighed out the seas and put everything in proper proportion, put us in a solar system so we're held by gravitational pull just the right distance to go around the sun and the moon just the right place and all of these other things. And matter of fact, we are in a particular place in the Milky Way where you can observe and see these things. The vast amount of the Milky Way, if we were in other places, you wouldn't be able to see the stars. You wouldn't be able to see these things. God made the world so we could see it, so we could study it and observe it and give glory to God, the very fact of where he placed us in the Milky Way. And so here's what he's saying about wisdom. James 3:17 teaches us that wisdom is from above. That's why you're not going to find it. Now, if you have wisdom, you can see the wisdom of God in the things that he made. But you're not going to see it, you're not going to dig up and find something that you can eat or something you can sell and get wisdom. It comes from God. It comes from above is the idea. And when God gives you wisdom, you can see his wisdom in his creation. You can see his wisdom, you see. Now, so that's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from God. That's the place of wisdom. So what is wisdom? Look at verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So that's wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Now you understand that wisdom is all-encompassing in the sense of growing in our knowledge of God, growing in the wisdom of God, but it always begins and continually manifests itself in the fear of God. The fear of God is the evidence of life and wisdom with God. And even when you grow in great knowledge and grow in great wisdom, you still continually have a fear of God, a proper respect and honor for who God is. Because it is the majesty of God. As I've said before, if I'm out at the Grand Canyon and it's 1,000 feet drop, what am I going to have when I'm right here? I'm not going to be terrified, but I'm going to have a healthy respect. I'm going to make sure no one's standing around that might bump into me. Okay, that's a natural fear. Well, when it comes to who God is, I mean, there's a natural fear there. Now, many people don't fear God because they don't understand God. They don't know God. They're ignorant of God. But wisdom is knowing God for who he is. And it comes from him and our relationship to him. We find out that we'll find out in this series that wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are interconnected. As a matter of fact, I'll preach a message that kind of distinguishes between these three, but in many ways they overlap. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In other words, wisdom comes from God through a living relationship with God, which manifests itself in the person experiencing the fear of God. It's kind of like, okay, I'm standing here, and in my mind, it's just flat ground. And all of a sudden, I take another look, and reality hits me, and I'm at that cliff I was mentioning a minute ago. Is that going to change my outlook? Well, see, man looks around. He doesn't see God. He doesn't understand God. He doesn't know God. But when the fear of God comes, I was like, whoa! He realizes that he is an eternal being. He's going to give an account to God, that God is holy. You see? And the knowledge of the holy gives understanding. Now, I thought this was interesting. Let's think, what brought foolishness into the world? What brought foolishness into the world? When Eve ate of what tree? The knowledge of good and what? Evil. So the knowledge of good and evil, disobeying God, brought foolishness into the world. But what brings wisdom and understanding? The knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the truth. And that truth is known through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So knowing the holy God and the holy things of God brings wisdom and understanding. Now, to help us remember this, I've come up with two acronyms, okay? The major one is the word SAFE. These don't necessarily correspond with wisdom, but I'm taking the word SAFE and then the word CAVES. You know, maybe you think wisdom does put you in a safe place, and CAVES, the idea of searching something out. Maybe you can remember it that way. But the main word is SAFE. And to help us understand wisdom, the S stands for seeking wisdom. How do we get wisdom? You need to seek wisdom. A, you need to ask God for wisdom. F, you need to be filled with the Spirit to have wisdom. And E, you need to exercise wisdom in your life. Anything God gives you to grow in it, you must use. You see? If you don't use wisdom, then you don't need wisdom. So wisdom involves the application. And so, once again, it's seeking wisdom. Well, you must seek it. You must ask God for it. You must be filled with the Spirit. And you must exercise wisdom. Now, the majority of the message is going to be on the first point, seek. How do we seek wisdom? Well, that's where my second acronym comes in, CAVES. We're going to show you that you must choose wisdom. That's the C. And you must apply wisdom to your life. That's the A. You must value wisdom. That's the V. And you must exhaustively study God's Word. And that's the ES. And that's how we seek wisdom. Now, I'm not doing that for every letter in the word SAFE. Just that first one. The other ones are pretty simple. But seeking involves quite a bit. So the first letter in the word SAFE is seeking wisdom. How you seek wisdom, you must choose wisdom, you must apply it to your heart, you must value wisdom, and you must exhaustively study. Exhaustively study, and then, you know, I add the Bible, which is what we must exhaustively study. But as far as the acronym, it's just the ES. So now let's look at this for a minute. How we seek wisdom. Well, first of all, the general idea about seeking. Matthew says this, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, this isn't some kind of positive thinking. This isn't some kind of mental realism that I can just think of something and I can just, if I think of it hard enough and I pursue it hard enough. I told you when I preached against the Word of Faith movement, this is one of the false teachings that they have. That we actually are like God and we can create things. If you just positively think on something long enough and hard enough, it'll happen. We're not just talking about in general. This is in the context of seeking the Lord and praying. It's in the context in Luke and in Matthew about praying. And he's saying, if you seek God and you pray, and in that prayer you're asking, you're seeking, you're knocking, that in the book of Luke he says, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the sum of all gifts. Every gift that God gives us is involved in the Holy Spirit. You receive eternal life. It comes from the Spirit. You receive wisdom like we're talking about tonight. It comes from the Spirit. All the gifts of God are received and sustained by the Holy Spirit of God. So in Matthew's account, he just mentions every good gift. But in Luke's account, the sum of all gifts is the Holy Spirit. And so he's talking about seeking God, and you're seeking him, you're seeking wisdom, and if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open unto you, and if you ask, you'll receive. Now, listen to Proverbs 3:13, and we'll turn to different passages, but most of these I'm going to have to read to you for time's sake. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. Well, if you find wisdom, how are you going to find wisdom? You might got to seek. He that seeks will find. You have to, you know, my wife and I went to Alaskan tour. We went to Vancouver, and the plane messed up. We had to spend a whole night in the Houston airport, and they were testing their alarm system every 15 minutes. So every 15 minutes, the alarm system went off, and we were sleeping there like some homeless people. We didn't get put up in a hotel or anything. But we finally got out and got to where we were going, got in the cab, and it was a Sikh, the cab driver. And so, man, I was just all excited. I was telling him about Jesus. I was telling him about the truth I was witnessing. He said, you know, and he wasn't being mean. He said, I've been driving a cab for 7 years. He said, I've never had anyone like you. And I said, well, we'll leave you with something. I said, seek and ye shall find, you know. And I talked about seeking the Lord. But we must seek wisdom. We must get wisdom and get understanding. So we need to seek it. Wisdom in Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. We'll show you later on that the wisdom comes from God's mouth. It comes from God's word, you see. Now, let's take this acronym CAVES. How do we get wisdom? Well, first of all, we must choose wisdom. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, right after Job and Psalms, and then you got the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning verse 20 through 29. Proverbs 1, 20 through 29. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. You see. Now here's the idea. What we find here, we must choose wisdom. Look at verse 29. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have to choose wisdom. It doesn't just automatically happen. Have you chosen to pursue and to seek wisdom? It is the choice of your life that you want wisdom. And you choose wisdom. Look at verse 24. Because I have called and you've not answered. You see, you've refused. Many people refuse wisdom. They refuse wisdom. But look how wisdom comes. Look at verse 23. This is important. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. The Spirit of God gives wisdom. Now, it's very interesting. The very first place in the Bible when it speaks of being filled with the Spirit is the very first place it speaks of wisdom. If you look in the KJV version and do a word search, the very first time wisdom is used in Exodus 28, 3. Now, we're going to read Exodus 31, but go to Exodus 28:3. Genesis, this is the first time the word wisdom is used in the Scripture. In other words, from Genesis 1:1 to right here is the first time you'll find the word wisdom in the King James Version. 28:3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So being filled with the Spirit and being filled with wisdom. Now here he says, filled with the spirit of wisdom. And in Proverbs 1, he talks about, I'll pour my spirit out. The point being made, you cannot have wisdom without the Spirit of God. And you need the wisdom, receives the spoken word of God, and we'll be looking at that. Now, go with me to Exodus 31, because it's the same context, it just fits my design a little bit better. Look at Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. Exodus 31, 1 through 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. See the three? And in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, and of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Now, here's the first usage of wisdom, and the first time you're filled with the Spirit. And it was these men that God filled with the Spirit and gave them the ability and skill and craftsmanship to make the articles of the temple. They could cut the stones, set them in the ephod. They could cut the timbers to make the altar of incense. They could beat out the gold to make the lampstand. They could make the curtains and the sockets and all of that, and make the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle pictured Jesus. Everything about the tabernacle pictures Jesus. It is a shadow and type of Jesus Christ. So they are forming something that brings glory to Jesus Christ. Now, how did they know what to do? Look at chapter 25, Exodus 25. Exodus 25, verse 8. Exodus 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now remember, God dwells in our hearts. We're to edify our life is to be edified for the glory of God, that God might dwell in us. God dwells in the church. The church needs to be built with wisdom. Now look at verse 9. According to all that I showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. In other words, God revealed to Moses by revelation the pattern for the tabernacle. We have it. He's going to begin talking about it in this very chapter. How to make everything. This is a blueprint, a very detailed blueprint. And the wisdom and the skill to follow this blueprint and to make things. Now, they also had the materials. God, they had spoiled the Egyptians. Well, there's a beautiful parallel. Because we are given the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Word of God for the pattern of righteousness and holiness. And Jesus has spoiled principality and powers and gave gifts unto men. And so what are we to do? We, through the Spirit of God, are to seek and pray for wisdom that Christ might be formed in us, and that the pattern of righteousness might be in our lives. You see, wisdom is the skill to live godly. Wisdom is the skill to live godly. Now, wisdom is the fear of God. And the fear of God, if you fear God, You're going to follow God's word, are you not? You're going to submit to God's word, and you're going to obey God. And so you're going to pattern your life. Now, some people, they know how to do banking. Some people know how to do building of buildings. Some people know how to bounce a basketball and throw a football. Some people know how to do a lot of things that the world really admires, and they have no idea how to live. They don't know where they came from. They don't know why they're here. They don't know with certainty where they're going. They don't know how to have a marriage. They don't know how to communicate and live godly and fruitful in life. They don't know how to live because they don't have wisdom. Now, most people, if they told the truth, if you went up and asked them, where did you come from? They have no idea and with certainty. They don't know. And if you say, well, why are you here? What's your purpose here? I don't know. And, well, where are you going to go when you die? I don't know. Well, you understand that that's a perfect description of what the Bible calls lost. The Bible says the lost. I'd say if you don't know where you came from, you don't know why you're here, and you don't know where you're going, I'd say that's a pretty good description of being lost, wouldn't you? That and so wisdom through the Word of God answers all of those questions, and you know those. You know those, see? And you have the ability, as it says here in chapter 31, go back to 31, and I'm just going to have to turn this into another message instead of trying to rush through. Look chapter 31, and look at verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And then to devise. Now, devise means to fabricate. Not, we think of fabricating lies. I think that may be where a lot of people hear that word. But to fabricate means to make things. You know, you have factories that involved in the fabrication of particular products. And so, they had the ability to fabricate these cunning, difficult works and to make them and to build the tabernacle. Now, what is the parallel? Well, listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, if you have the spirit of wisdom and you by faith look to the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, inwardly your spirit is going to be renewed into the knowledge and the character of Jesus Christ. That's why they called him Christian. You see? Now, that's on the inside. But what's on the inside manifests on the outside. So here's what Titus said. In all things, showing thyself, this is Titus 2, 7 and 8, showing thyself a pattern. In other words, it's not, you're not showing it so you can see it. You're not, what you're showing, you're exemplifying a pattern by the help of God. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so inwardly, just like they built the tabernacle that was a shadow and a type of Jesus, when you believe and search the Word of God and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through the Spirit of God, you are transformed in your spirit into the image of Christ. Then your life is transformed into a pattern of good works. You see? And that's the beginning of wisdom. Now, actually, that's just in choosing wisdom. That's just the... They haven't got too far. I'm sorry about that. But, applying wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. We do have a couple of minutes here. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. I'm still working on the word caves. This is all caves explains the first letter S, how we seek the wisdom of God. So we're working on, we've got the C is to choose wisdom. Now apply wisdom. And that's Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 7. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, note this, words. Now, this is Solomon to his son, but the idea is God to us. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, you see, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's talking about the word of God. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So if you look at verse 2, through parallelism, the word incline, the words incline and apply are parallel. Wisdom and understanding are parallel. So we are at liberty. In other words, if you say apply thine ear or thy heart unto wisdom and incline thine ear unto understanding, you would still be in the realm of what this is talking about, because they're parallel. You see what I'm saying? And so we are to apply, he says, apply thine heart to understanding, but we could also say that of wisdom. Apply your heart to wisdom. You have to apply things. You just can't grow in knowledge, and you have to do things. Like God gave Bezalel the wisdom, gave him the materials. Well, what if Bezalel didn't do the work? What if he didn't apply it? What if he didn't cut the stones and measure the wood and cut it and fashion things? You have to apply. You have to take what God has given you and apply it to your heart and life. You have to put it in practice. And then, one more thing, and we'll close. We must value wisdom. That's the C, the A, and now the V. The word K is value wisdom. Well, that's what our text was all about. Do you value wisdom? I mean, what does the world value? That's the idea. They value the gold. They value the rubies. They value the coral and the precious gems and jewels. They value those things. And they get excited about those things. Could you imagine if you were digging in your backyard and you hit something? What is that? And you hit it and you dig and it's a treasure chest. And you open it up. There's all kinds of gold, all kinds of jewels, and you know it's yours. It's on your property. It's yours. Would you be excited? Would you call people up and tell them about it? Huh? Yeah, look at that, Jacob. That he's smiling. You'd get excited. Well, listen. You dig down and your shovel hits something. It hits the Word of God. And you begin to look at it, and there's jewels and precious things and the Spirit of God. And it gives, you know, and man, all of a sudden you realize the great worth of the Word of God and the wisdom of God and to have the Spirit of God. And so you pursue it. You want to grow in it. I mean, it gives you strength. It gives you joy. It makes your face shine. I mean, you get someone, you know, someone that gets excited about it, their face just lights up. I mean, there's been times God's opened up scriptures and just lit my face up because I'm just so excited about things. And so we need to pursue wisdom. And we'll have to pick this up in our next message. And so let's all stand. We'll close in a word of